You're listening to Allied Health Podcast, talking all things allied health with your hosts, Danielle Whedon, physiotherapist, and Claire Jones, occupational therapist.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Allied Health Podcast. I'm Claire Jones, qualified OT, director at MediRecruit, and host of today's episode. I'm joined today by Kathy Love. Kathy wears many hats. She's director at NACA Consulting. She's an allied health business coach. She's a speaker, an author, a podcaster, and an occupational therapist. Most importantly, Kathy helps allied health business owners to run more productive, powerful, and profitable businesses. Welcome, Kathy.
Hello, Claire. So good to be back in conversation. Been a while.
Isn't it? Now, to kick off today's episode, shall we start by you telling our listeners a little bit more about your career in allied health and what inspired you to start NACA Consulting?
Yeah, this topic makes me laugh because I'm so old, it just takes so long. So if anyone wants to reach for their cup of tea. So thank you for that invite. Somewhere sitting back in the batch of the previous conversation that we've had. I guess we can start with the occupational therapy piece. I am still registered with APRA by the skin of my teeth. I don't think I could do any clinical work, but I'm hanging on there. I'm not quite sure why. It's an interesting one to release.
Is it part of your identity, Kathy?
I think it's part of my DNA. Like I think you can leave occupational therapy, but occupational therapy doesn't leave you.
Absolutely.
Which I'm really grateful for because it's a phenomenal skill set.
Expert problem solvers, aren't we?
Yeah, indeed. And sometimes we even create the problems that we think we can solve. So we're good at that as well. So NACA Consulting has been around since about 2012, 2013. And that was a transition period where I sold my occupational therapy private practice here in Melbourne. So from around 2000 through to 2012, oh my gosh, so long ago, listeners probably weren't even born. I started a private practice, and this was back before funding and NDIS, and had a business that just went from woe to go, and it developed way faster than I did as a business owner and a manager. But what I cottoned onto in those heady snowballing days was that it takes a village to raise a business, and that the business was only ever going to be as good as I was and the help I got at the time. So way back then, I was working with marketing people, went through a couple of accountants, not going to lie, but landed on a goodie, probably in this last business. But I met with HR people and lawyers and all sorts of people because I just realized very quickly when my knowledge just fell off the cliff, like there was just nothing there. And it came as a surprise to pretty much everyone when I sold Kids Therapy Network in Melbourne in 2012. And that was a fascinating process as well. I was very determined to learn with and from that process. And learn I did. And then I worked with you guys. So Kids Therapy Network went into the second version of Everyday Independence, and that cohort has then changed hands a couple of times.
I wasn't aware of that, Kathy.
Yeah.
I didn't know that there was that link.
That is a long and interesting story, perhaps for another time.
Another episode.
Yeah, another episode. But what happened after I sold was colleagues, once they knew I sort of had some agency, it could speak a little and work a little differently, they sort of phoned and said, look, we've been meaning to ask you for years, how do you do this and how do you do that and how did you do that and why did you go that way and so on and so forth. And I always thought I was way behind the eight ball and that I was just always on the catch up and every other allied health business owner in town was way better at it than me, and they probably were, but I had some good runs on the board. I had a lot more commercial knowledge than I realized. And it's bizarre that I didn't realize that until after I'd sold, when I was in a position to sort of somewhat contribute to the new owners. But just quickly and easily and enjoyably answer the business, the management, leadership, operational questions from colleagues. So I didn't know I was going to be a business consultant and a business coach at that point. I had completed a coaching qual, so that was good. And then it went from there to here, wherever it is. It just kept growing. And so, you know, the early days we had one-on-one coaching, and then we appreciated the impact of a mastermind program where you bring amazing business owners together. And we still have that program going. We have a boardroom program running that's invite-only, boardroom level for business owners, one-on-one coaching. And we have a whole lot of fun in masterclasses and hopefully adding a whole lot of helpful value to other business owners. So there it goes.
Now, you're specifically working with allied health business owners day in, day out, yeah. And it's fair to say it's a very dynamic and challenging space to be in at the moment. An understatement, really. And we discussed a number of topics for today's episode and landed on leadership in allied health businesses. What are you seeing in the sector when it comes to leadership, especially in the small to medium-sized businesses?
First up, I sort of want to just get on the record that leadership actually starts with self. You've got to be able to lead yourself first before you lead others. And that can be really challenging in the busyness of business. But it comes with this question that people might like to consider is, who do I need to be for the business and team that I want and the results that I want as well? So we've sort of seen a lot of questioning, if you like, that business owners are sort of asking themselves, well, who do I need to be and who do I need with me for the results that we want for our business and our team and our clients? And coming to the realization that they, as the business owner, are not necessarily going to get everything done that they want when they have 5, 10, 15, 20 direct reports, and that they've got this whole suite of fabulous customer service, employees and clinicians in all sorts of levels, all reporting to them. And it happens well before 20 direct reports. It probably happens closer to 5 to 10, maybe 7 or so. And so there comes this question of, well, who do I need to lead my team? And what does a team leader look like? And how's that different from a clinical supervisor? And then over in the customer service side of things, because we're just not a fan of the word admin, you know, who do I need there? And there's been a lot of questioning, and I think it's on the back of businesses really hitting their teenage years, if you like. And in the context of the NDIS, which we both know incredibly well, but I think it's also in a bigger context than that. I think it's in a bigger economic context, a bigger maturity of the private sector as well, and I think also post-COVID as well. So there's been quite a few factors that have just come together to really understandably get business owners thinking about, well, I just clearly cannot do it all. Who do I need with me to be leading others?
And that's coming to that point where you say, I can't do it all.
Mm.
That's a real problem for many allied health business owners, isn't it? I mean, in my experience from the recruitment side, I see so many business owners that are actually allied health professionals themselves. And what that means is that they can do almost every role in the business. They can carry a clinical caseload, they can supervise, they can mentor, they can work out professional development opportunities for their staff. There is so much that you can do in your business, but there comes a point where you have to step back and say, this is not A, healthy, it's going to lead to burnout pretty quickly. And it's not an effective way to manage an allied health business, is it?
No, because you add on to that list of preferred sweet spot tasks, a bit of payroll, some HR, recruiting, marketing.
Restocking the tea and coffee in the kitchen.
Yeah, ordering lunch for tomorrow's team day, so on and so forth. So if the capability and the energetic capacity of allied health business owners is just phenomenal, and therein lies part of the problem, that they are this jack of all trades. And that is, in the absence of a leadership level or leaders who can be tasked with some of that.
What are the other challenges, Kathy, business owners face when it comes to implementing that leadership layer in their business?
It's a bit about time. It's not unusual for us to meet and start working with business owners, and there's a sense of, well, I only have time and energy to keep the status quo.
Yeah.
But they know that they want something different, which is why they engage and work with us. And I just wish I could share two or three conversations I've had just today around this. So part of it is getting comfortable with knowing what you don't know, and getting comfortable with getting some advice around this, but also being comfortable with knowing that it's got to change or it's going to break. Because it just can't go on with the business owner being all of the things to all of the people all of the time.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, there's costs as well, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah. There's costs, but being the eternal optimist that I am, there's sort of benefits sitting so nicely on the other side of those costs / investments. I guess there's a time cost, because I think it's important to sort of put down the clinical tools, and just step back and really think about your role as a director and what directors do. Because as you've mentioned, it can get really, really blurry, but to be a real director, you are driving strategy, you're overseeing marketing, you know which numbers and data you need to make decisions. You're overseeing a lot of recruitment and retention. You're kind of a keystone, but not driving culture on your own. You're aware of all the systems and the productivity that's going on, the risk management, the improvement schedule. But a lot of these activities feel quite foreign to a lot of business owners, because they're just not at that level yet. Because they're doing all of those other things, because they don't have great 2ICs to hand to share the work, share the work with. So there's a cost of being able to release, just haul yourself out of your own business for whatever amount of time and get whatever amount of guidance you need to be able to see how an org chart could look different. So we talk with our members about the time to create a future org chart, an org chart for 3 million, 5 million, 7 million, whatever's relevant, doesn't matter, it's just a number, right? But to actually plan who they need in what seats on the bus for where they want to go. And so this is where the cost bit comes in, because that needs a little bit of pricing, needs a lot of pricing, not gonna line that, which means your budget might need a little bit of a dust off. Someone might have to find that spreadsheet and give that a bit of a look. And you know, there could also be costs, because bringing new people into a team creates a new team, right? Just psychodynamically, it's going to be a new team, and so there could be cost in terms of planning for that and resetting culture and the onboarding and the training that everyone's going to need, not just the new potential leaders coming in. Yeah. And so I can totally understand that, sort of hearing that, everyone sort of thinks, yeah, I quite like status quo. I don't know if I want that. I don't want a big business is something we hear a lot. But by not wanting a big business possibly means that the business owner's got 3 full-time jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really valid point you make there. So what, just in basic terms, what are the mechanics involved in creating a leadership layer in an allied health business?
I'd be suggesting to check back in as a business owner in terms of what your week looks like and what you might want to be doing more of, and getting comfortable with what you want to do more of in the context of what you want your business to achieve. And this is a bit about having a strategic direction. I've sort of bounced on this a couple of times in this chat, but it doesn't mean you need global domination. Like, the smallest of businesses still have mighty plans that are crazy relevant for them. And it doesn't always have to be about the money and the clients and the KPIs and all of that stuff. It's having a sense of direction of where you want the business to go and a bit of a roadmap for how to get there. And part of that is your role and what you want your role within your business to look like in the context of your lifestyle.
And lifestyle is so important, isn't it, Kathy?
Absolutely. Because what happens is business owners habituate to a 40, 50, 60 hour week. It just becomes their normal. And we'd like to suggest that business ownership does not have to be like that. And time again, we've been able to work with business owners to reduce their hours and just totally multiply their results by kind of pulling them out of their own business and bringing in some of these leaders. So some of the mechanics are about that future org chart, having a sense of direction in terms of where you want to go and how you want to get there, why that really matters to you and your team and your clients. And then starting to play with the pieces around, well, what could these leadership roles look like? Let's draft up a position description. Where could be their pay points? How will we know if they're doing a good job? Are they going to have a clinical component, or is it going to be a leadership management component, or a little bit of both, or does it start as one and it change to the other? I think, there's some really important planning to happen behind the scenes for starters, but part of that comes with the permission to dream, to reclaim the lifestyle you want, but to also think about what you want your business to achieve for your team and clients. Because the change has to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And what are the qualities business owners should be looking for in potential leaders, in your opinion?
First up, I want to challenge the notion that leaders have to be older and have had more and more and more experience, or they have to have had a lot of clinical experience or whatever. So this comes back to understanding what the leadership roles are going to be. So I might just use team leader as an example. Leadership potential shows up at all ages and stages. And I think it's exciting to remember that earlier career clinicians can make phenomenal leaders way sooner than what people might think. So for me, it's very much about personality. It's very much about the extent to which they fit into the team, but will also potentially challenge a team. So I don't know, you and I haven't spoken about culture fit. I'm not always sure that that's the only way to go sometimes. Mm. So a culture add, I think, is important. I would be looking for their communication style, their appetite for learning, but very much their mindset, particularly if they're coming into a team leader type role where they are going to have to be increasingly comfortable with managing others and having those necessary conversations and wrapping their head around a bunch of numbers and billables and all sorts of things. So there's that piece, but I would also put some creativity and some energy in there as well. They may have had experiences elsewhere in the workplace. That can be good. They may be fresh into a role like this. They may come as internal recruits, or they may come as new teammates from other experiences. I think there's lots of ways to go, but that selection criteria, if you like, is so much easier if you know what you want and what the business needs in the role. Mm. Otherwise, it's a good chat.
Mm. And this is not a loaded question, as from someone who specializes in allied health recruitment, but what are your thoughts on promoting from within or recruiting?
I would be looking at both. And I wonder if this is one of the barriers for allied health business owners, thinking that, oh my gosh, we've got no one who can step up into a leadership role and we just don't have the energy to bring someone in from outside. Mm. I wonder if that gets into a little bit of a holding pattern. The upboarding or the onboarding are going to be very different. And the work required to shepherd the team into this new environment is also very different for both of those scenarios. Once again, if you're really clear about what you want, what the business needs, mm. what the position requires, any internal applicants are more than welcome to apply.
Mm.
But maybe with no guarantees that it's a sure thing.
And I think that's a really important point you make there, Kathy. I think it's a really good idea to run a recruitment process.
Absolutely.
Really important. And you invite existing employees to apply, open it up for people to apply, and also explore the market to see who else is out there. I mean, again, I'll give MediRecruit a plug, but to explore the market through MediRecruit, there's absolutely no cost until that person starts in the role with you. So you've got nothing to lose by going out and seeing who's out there. And we're seeing, you know, we know that we are short on experienced therapists at the moment. There's no denying that. But we're seeing a lot of an increasing amount of therapists who are really looking for that next challenge in their career. And I think with the, you know, the introduction of the NDIS and our aging population, there are so many more career pathways for allied health professionals now. Mm. It used to be you either become manager of a department or you start your own business, but there's so many options for career progression now, and that's what therapists are looking for.
Yeah. Not everyone wants to start their own business. No. Aren't they wise?
As a business owner, yes, very wise.
Yeah. There are career professionals out there who are really curious about leadership roles and what it would mean for them personally, but also mean for the businesses as well. I'm curious. I've been wanting to ask you for our whole conversation. You're seeing requests for these roles?
Definitely. Yeah. Absolutely. We're seeing therapists who are really keen to, step into a new realm of leadership and learn how to lead. They're keen, and not in a negative way, to reduce their clinical caseload.
Yes.
They've been working clinically for a considerable amount of time, and working to X amount of billable hours a week is, you know, they're ready for the next chapter. And, you know, what that looks like, it's not necessarily dropping all their clinical hours, but it can be a component. Mm-hmm. I still want to hold a clinical caseload. I'm really passionate about mentoring and supervising. I really want to use those skills now and hone those skills. And I really want to, you know, lead a team and be part of a really dynamic, thriving business. And that person stands out as, you know, someone who's so well suited to coming into that management layer of a business, whether they're starting it. But these sorts of therapists are out there in the market. They definitely are.
Yeah. A notable number of the businesses we serve have actually been a little taken aback by the quantity and the quality of candidates applying for these clinical supervisor, clinical leaders, team leader roles, which is good, which is great. It's good.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Now, Kathy, have you got any last words of wisdom for us?
I would be encouraging allied health business owners to think about what they will be able to achieve for themselves and their team and their clients when they're able to step up and really embrace that director CEO role, when there's a really strong and sustained shift from being a clinician to being a CEO, and for them to think about what it might be like for them to be leading leaders, because that becomes a bit of a game changer.
And what does NACA Consulting offer somebody in that position?
Yeah, as I sort of mentioned a little earlier, we provide business coaching services to allied health business owners, but a range of programs. I don't know if you knew, we've just run a startup program because there are so many startups in the market. We have a mastermind program that is super, super popular, and that enables us to bring allied health business owners together and group coaching. We provide a lot of training to all of our members. Our business resource portal is truly spectacular, if we say so ourselves. We also offer one-on-one coaching, and we've got a boardroom program as well. So a range of offers, and I guess it all starts with a phone call, right? And so over on our website, makeart.com.au, you'll find a link to book that power call. You'll meet with one of the business consultants that we've got on the team. And that's really just to find out if we're a good match. It's as simple as that. We don't know where those calls go. We absolutely love them because it's just such a good opportunity to find out what people are up to and what kind of help that they need. Over to the website to kickstart the conversation. We've also got a podcast, just like you. We'll have to get you back over. You haven't been over as a guest for a while. And our podcast is getting a little bit of a refresh. It's known at the moment as Private Practice Make Perfect. You'll find the links to that over on the website. We're also blogging every week, which is creating absolute mayhem out there. But we're loving that as well. So you'll find the blog on the website. But back to the podcast. If you go and sort of, you know, tune in now, don't be surprised in the next couple of weeks across June and July of 2024 if it gets a different look and feel. So I might keep that a little bit of a secret.
Okay.
And people can just sort of get a surprise and hopefully enjoy it.
I love the description for your podcast, Kathy. It's a much loved conversation for those wanting to hear real life Australian allied health business stories, adventures, and the occasional confession.
Yes.
And that's exactly what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, especially the stuff that gets edited out.
Well, thanks so much for joining me today, Kathy. It's always great to chat to you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. I hope there's a couple of little thought-provoking bits in there for your listeners.
Absolutely. Thanks, Kathy.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Allied Health Podcast. Please subscribe via Apple, Google, or wherever you find your favourite podcasts. And if you've enjoyed the show, please give it a 5-star rating and review, and be sure to tell your therapy colleagues and friends to tune in.